The following Dharma talk was given at Boundless Way Temple in Worcester, Massachusetts. The temple is an affiliate of Boundless Way Zen, a multi-lineage school of Zen Buddhism.
A story from the record of Dongshan. When Dongshan was ready to leave his teacher, Yun Yan, Dongshan asked, "Later on, if someone asks me how to depict your teaching, how shall I reply?" Yun Yan paused and then said, "Just this is it." When he heard that, Dongshan sank into thought, and Yun Yan said, "You are in charge of this great matter. You must be most thoroughgoing." Dongshan left Yun Yan and was still perplexed. He didn't quite get it. As he proceeded, he was wading across a stream, and seeing his reflection in the water, he had some understanding. He looked down in the stream and saw something, and then he wrote this poem. "Just don't seek from others, or you'll be far estranged from yourself. Now I go on alone, but everywhere I meet it. It now is me. I now am not it. One must understand in this way to merge with suchness." So Dongshan is one of our revered ancestors. He lived in the early part of the 9th century in China and was part of the great flourishing of Zen in China. He studied with Nanxuan and Guishan, two of our other familiar ancestors, before he came to Yun Yan. Dongshan is credited with being one of the founders of the Soto lineage of Zen, of which we are a part. So all of us in this room are direct ancestors of Dongshan. Though he lived in the 9th century, collection, the compilation of stories and words about him and by him did not appear till the early 12th century. So 300 years after his death, some students who felt some deep kinship with him collected stories that they had heard that had been passed down. And this collection called The Record of Dongshan appeared then in the 12th century. A number of stories about Dongshan are included in our koan collection. This is not one of the ones that has been selected, but we thought quite a wonderful place to start our investigation, to circle around this retreat. I'll read it one more time. When Dongshan was ready to leave his teacher, Yun Yan, Dongshan asked, "Later on, if someone asks me if I can depict your teaching, how shall I reply?" Yun Yan paused and then said, "Just this is it." When he heard that, Dongshan sank into thought, and Yun Yan said, "You are in charge of this great matter. You must be most thoroughgoing." Dongshan left Yun Yan and was still perplexed. He didn't quite get it. As he proceeded, he was wading across a stream, and seeing his reflection in the water, he had some understanding. He looked down in the stream and saw something, And then he wrote this poem. Just don't seek from others, or you'll be far estranged from yourself. Now I go on alone, but everywhere I need it. It now is me. I now am not it. One must understand in this way to merge with suchness. So some of this poem may be familiar because on our sutra service, we recited the Jeweled Mirror Samadhi, one of the wonderful teaching poems of the Soto tradition that also is credited to Dongshan and also did not appear till several centuries after his death. But there is some spirit of Dongshan that comes through. Dongshan is noted for this teaching of thusness, this teaching of suchness. The Jeweled Mirror Samadhi begins with saying this, the Dharma of thusness, the Dharma of this moment, the Dharma of just this has been transmitted, intimately transmitted from west to east. Now you have it, preserve it well. So it is this most intimate teaching that our ancestors, women and men, those who have come before us have done their best to pass on to us. But yet it is impossible to speak about this. It is impossible to name what this is. All of our words, all of these sutras are pointing towards something that is utterly ungraspable. And these stories, our wonderful koan collection, and these recorded sayings of various masters are pointing towards something, this coming together of the student and the teacher, and the leaving of the student and the teacher. And this particular story takes place as Dongshan, a quite serious and advanced student, quite committed to this, who has been traveling around, has been devoting his life studying with different teachers, and he has come and studied with Yun Yan for some length of time. And he is about to leave Yun Yan. It's easy to think that our path of Zen is about coming together. And there is such joy for me when we come together like this online and in person, come together to practice, come together to listen to the sounds of the bird and the traffic, come together to sit upright in the middle of our life. There is this joy in coming together, and we are all teachers for each other. Moment after moment, each one of us is preaching the Dharma in your upright posture, in the breath coming in and out. You are demonstrating your great love for this world. And of course, don't you, don't I love this world, this precious life, as difficult as it is sometimes, utter mystery. And so we are teaching. We are teaching as the sound of the birds are teaching, and the sound of this morning's lovely breeze in the trees. and the rushing cars rushing past the temple while we are all carefully hidden away here, hidden in our world of practice. We are dropouts, renegades coming together to fight for liberation, fight for freedom, to stand for something that is not simply based on greed, anger, and ignorance. These days of such great opposition, there can be such energy in being outraged. And of course, I think we should and must be outraged. But yet, how to go beyond any one position? When the Buddha taught, he spoke of the world being on fire. He spoke about being a human being as like being in a burning house. The world, when Zen came into being in medieval China, was wild and turbulent, and the collapse of great dynasties, terrible plagues coming through the land. It was a time of great uncertainty, just like this time. None of us knows where the world is headed, and sometimes it looks so bleak. And so we come to practice not to deny the difficulty of the world, but we come to get underneath it, to get fully into it. And so there is this coming together and this joy of coming together, but Zen is a vow to include everything. And this everything includes the coming together, and it includes the falling apart, the going away. Wonderful to come and meet with a teacher and to engage, to show up as yourself, to risk being yourself and to look into this great matter with the teacher. And yet you must leave the teacher. You leave when the teacher rings their bell or bows. You may say, I have one more question. The teacher bows, says, thank you very much. And there you are. You are the one who has to come back to the cushion. Your teacher sits upstairs or online, drinking their, sipping their water, having nice conversations. And here you are back in the hot zendo with your miserable self one more time. And this, so this leaving is so important, because although your teacher can support and encourage and guide you, your teacher cannot transmit it to you. Your teacher cannot eat your food in the morning. Your teacher cannot stay hydrated for you. Your teacher cannot walk your walk. Sometimes we say these sesshin are being alone together. Being alone together. And we connect with each other not by talking to each other, not by looking meaningful looks at each other, but we work together, we connect with each other by going deep into the center of the matter. Because the center of your heart is the center of all hearts. The center of your heart is the center of the universe. And as we enter into this, as we study what appears, we are studying life itself. And this life itself is, of course, life and death itself. The great galaxies coming together and then exploding, dying, vanishing. Just as you and I appear a flash of sunlight on the stream going by, just a flash, just a moment. And in our wonderful five remembrances that we chant every sutra service, this sobering and wonderful reminder that this limited life that includes sickness, that includes growing older in some way, that includes dying, this is the wondrous opportunity. And our Zen practice is a way of taking responsibility. So easy to blame circumstances, to complain, and important to do that, and the complaining self is a wonderful part. But beneath the complaint is some kind of longing, to touch what is most important, some kind of longing to finally be at ease. I think it was Dongshan or maybe Yunyan who said, if you want to be a person of suchness, be a person of suchness right now. So in this moment, if you want to be at ease, there is this invitation to be at ease in the midst of your complaint. To be at ease in the midst of your dis-ease. No need to change even a minute bit. And so this meeting of the self, Uchiyama Roshi said, everything you encounter is yourself. So big self meets little self, this field of awareness meets the moment, just as a student meets teacher, teacher meets student in this moment of touching and being touched. Moment after moment, we say the bodhisattvas arise from the cracks of the earth. Each footstep, the floor that so reliably meets your foot, the floor is the bodhisattva rising to meet you. Moment after moment, the universe, life itself, meets you in the wondrous particular way, this particular way that is the universal way. This sensation, this troubling thought, this delightful thought, this expansive feeling, this discouraged feeling. Everything you encounter is the Buddha. Everything is reaching out. Everything is offering itself to you. And in our Zen practice, we are practicing receiving. Practicing letting ourselves be touched. This wonderful possibility of allowing ourselves to be ourself. The promise that practice is one way in which we can transform our life. Transform not because we make it different, but when we enter into the heart of suffering, we find that it is not what we think it is. All of these stories we have are stories, wonderful and useful and helpful entry points, but in the center of the story, there is this source world, there is this arising. And when we can meet this moment without trying to fix it, without trying to improve it, not even leaning into this moment, not leaning away. Dongshan says turning away and touching are both wrong, or it is like massive fire. So this massive fire is indeed the oxidation, you being oxidized. Breathe in. Every cell of your body is on fire. And every cell of your body knows just what to do. And this deeper knowing, this deeper current of the Dharma, is not something we can plan out. Whatever plan you have for your sesshin, it is just an interesting idea. The wonderful possibility of sesshin is to be able to notice the plans coming up and just coming back to this moment, to this breath, this sensation, this sound. Receiving self, meeting self, the jeweled mirror samadhi, this image of life as this great round mirror. And whatever comes in front of the mirror is reflective. And so each one of us, when we look in the mirror, the world we see is the world that we participate in creating. And we meet ourselves in that difficult person. Of course, when we look closely, we can begin to see that the true difficult person is the person sitting on your cushion. That person always trying to prove their reality, always trying to find some stable ground in this ever-changing world, in this world of coming and going. Dongshan says, now I go alone. Now I go alone. Each one of us goes alone. And we are in good company on this journey. And we don't know where we are going. Earlier in this story, Yunyan, Dongshan says, I'm leaving, but I don't know where I'm going. Yunyan says, are you going here? And Dongshan says, no. Are you going there? And Dongshan says, I don't know. Sitting upright in the middle of this not knowing. And allowing ourselves to be touched, to practice receiving. Every breath that comes in is a miraculous gift from the universe. Every breath that goes out is a dying, being born and dying, happening moment after moment. Being born is wonderful and dying is wonderful. We live in a universe of wondrousness, and our home, your home, is right here, has been here all your life. Not one of your steps has taken you away from it. In the deepest sense of practice, there is no good practice, there is no bad practice, because everything is included in this wondrous Dharma. This is it. When Dongshan was ready to leave his teacher, Yun Yan, Dongshan asked, "Later on, if someone asks me if I can depict your teaching, how shall I reply?" Yun Yan paused and then said, "Just this is it." When he heard that, Dongshan sank into thought, and Yun Yan said, "You are in charge of this great matter. You must be most thoroughgoing." Dongshan left Yun Yan and was still perplexed. He didn't quite get it. As he proceeded, he was wading across a stream, and seeing his reflection in the water, he had some understanding. He looked down in the stream and saw something, and then he wrote this poem. "Just don't seek from others, or you'll be far estranged from yourself. Now I go on alone, but everywhere I meet it. It now is me. I now am not it. One must understand in this way to merge with suchness." Thank you. So please sit comfortably. If people up toward the altar want to turn this way, you can view people on the screen, and Melissa Roshi and Dharma Holder Alan and I will respond and engage with you. So this is our time for questions, responses, what's alive for you, hearing these words and practicing in this manner. Erin.
When I first heard
Speak up a little bit.
When I first heard what Dongshan said.
Dongshan,
I felt like a peace inside of me. And then I started to wonder, like, a lot of the stories are involving them. I just started to wonder if I replaced the woman every time,
you know, would it have a different effect on me? Just in terms of reflection. Yeah. Seeing yourself reflecting. So it's kind of
just
imagining
people, my imagination.
Yeah.
And
what came up for you as you did that?
I don't know, it was kind of hard to imagine. I could imagine the image, but the words coming from the person, that was good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have a similar issue that I've had for 40 something years. and most of these stories are about men. There are stories about women, but you know, the practice for me in hearing stories like this in koans isn't about making an abstraction of a man or a woman. It's making the character me. So trying to think of Dongshan or Yunyan as women is a lot of work. Tell me if that's what you've noticed. But I can go to a place myself where, as a Zen practitioner, I can, even when I wasn't a teacher, I could enter into the reality of the teacher, irrespective of gender, you know, not in this binary male-female thing, but me, just me. How could I do this? And the same thing with students, of course. In this case, you know, Yunyan is the teacher saying, just this is it. And the students, it was Dongshan wondering, you know, lost in thought. I can enter into both of those people, but not if I put up a barrier for myself. And it also reminds me of, in my life, I've had to go to a lot of Christian church services and Jewish services. And, you know, it's like I have to do a simultaneous translation, no matter what I'm hearing, liturgy, whoever it is who's saying it, giving a sermon or going through something. So that's what I think I hear you saying, that you're doing one of these simultaneous translations. But this is maybe asking for something a little bit easier, which is, how do I, as an individual, relate to this individual and setting gender aside, if that's possible? Yeah. Thank you. Very, very wonderful that you asked that.
Yeah, Zach. Zep.
Okay, so I like words.
You gotta be much louder.
I like words and word games. And so, you know, this answer, just this is it. I always like making the sneaky interpretation. Maybe the Zen people are really sneaky. So I'm hearing him as what he's talking about, the question, how can I respond? What if he's not saying, just this is it, like, okay, I'm just this is it. He's in that question, how can I respond? It's all right there. I'm almost hearing that other poem, you know, tell me, dead or alive, this kind of desperation. And I was thinking, like in Sesshin, some of my favorite parts of Sesshin are like, when you get in these strange situations that never come up in everyday life, they're so mundane that it feels really like, you know, oh, I left my pillow in my car. Yeah, can I go there before lights out? Should I ask a question? Or maybe it's not worth the time to ask a question, just go, will the door lock? And, you know, how can I respond? And get your response, this kind of, yeah.
Well, there's actually another translation of just this is it. It is in the original, a Chinese word that refers to he, her, them, it. It's an undefined word. So another translation is just this person, which I think moves toward this, this just this moment, whatever the reference point is. Great, thanks, Zach. Yes, Don.
Yeah, so I had like the some kind of a weird, like the worst crampy stabby thing happening with like my shoulder blade, like the entire time. So I'm like listening, and then all of a sudden it's slowly and gradually shifted to, okay, the thing I'm doing is just sitting here and not like keeling over or barking on the floor or crying. And you're like, well, settle. And there's like some point where you were saying the suffering might not be what you think it is. And I'm like, all right, so let's check it. Nope, I don't know. So that was my experience. But, very present in my body. But yeah. Now that I have been able to move it. But yeah, so thank you.
Yeah.
I think you're describing a common experience of what Zazen actually is. Yeah. It's just preventing ourselves from falling on the floor and screaming and crying. So, yeah. If we're really honest. Yeah, that's great. Sometimes it's just, a lot of the times it's, can't stand it another moment. And to do what you did, which is just to be it, just this is it. You were enacting Yun Yan's advice. Just this is it. I'm in pain. I feel like I'm going to go out of my gourd. Just this is it. It's a wonderful practice point.
Thanks.
Thanks, Tom.
Susan.
Just this. So
can you speak up a little bit, Susan? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So about just this, having COVID, and breathing was in the last 10 days quite challenging, and it is still challenging. I had a moment in bed a few days ago where it was really difficult to breathe, and I could feel my lungs, and I could feel that they couldn't work, and it was really challenging. And there was something, because I really had to concentrate 100% on just this breath. And there was no space for anything else. It was just this breath. Yeah. And then there was another breath. And this was everything what was there.
Yeah.
Because there was no other space. And now slowly I get more energy. And what I notice, especially when I wake up in the morning in bed, how active immediately my mind is. So there is more space, more the energy which was just focusing on this breath is going into the mind and into storylines of whatever. So, and this was arising while I was listening to your comments about justice.
But, Alan, do you want to respond?
Yeah, I did want to say something. Thank you. Susan, thank you for that story and for making yourself vulnerable in that way and talking about this experience. And what it reminds me of is that there are people, and I have sometimes in my youth been one of them, who cultivate these experiences called edge experiences, where you really come to a place where you're at the edge of life and death, and a long move, and it will be your last breath. And the attraction of those experiences is just what you said. There's nothing, there's no room for anything but just this. And it feels to people that get addicted to this, which fortunately I didn't, it feels like the ultimate experience of freedom. But the real freedom is to do what you've done, which is to come back from it and now getting further and further from the edge and back to your ordinary, boring life and finding that that's just it. So to me, that this opens a door, but the door leads you right back to the ordinary. And that's where you will find a freedom that doesn't have to be cultivated constantly, but that just arises of itself.
And it also feels like what we're doing here on retreat. Retreat, as Zeph said, is designed to disorient you, to put you in extreme states, like Don was saying. So the extreme state is my back is killing me and I've committed not to move. And we think, well, this is terrible. But there is some possibility with these edge experiences when you go beyond whatever, however strong your practice is, I guarantee at some point over the next few days, you will go beyond your competence. And all of your Zen tricks, I hope, will fail you, right? So you come face to face with the thing itself where there's nothing to be done. And in a sense, we're practicing for these times, like Susan said, when for it will be not on retreat, but lying in bed in the hospital after the bus runs over you, however, no getting up, but some possibility of meeting with courage and offering ourselves to the moment and being transformed moment after moment. So let's... one more? Okay.
Did you have your hand up, Brad?
Yeah, Brad, last one.
Quick. Well, it sounded like, I think, a ceremony, and he was sending out, having been given permission to go start his own group. So his sinking into thought was a big surprise to me. Like, wow, like, I wouldn't expect that. And then crossing the river and seeing something, it wasn't like seeing a rock. It was seeing, I took it as seeing his reflection, only it was Picasso-like, like it was all, it wasn't a still pond to look at his own face. It was all messed up. And I think the biggest impediment for me to all of this is the Brad part. and that's what I can't remember everything he said afterwards, what he wrote afterwards, but it was something about chipping away at that to me. Yeah. And that was his way of knowing how to carry on his teacher's teaching.
Yeah.
Right. Well, there's a fantasy that I think many people carry around. Some people persist in it, that being a teacher receiving transmission, receiving Inca even, I don't think that's what this was about. He's still a student at this point. But he's leaving his third teacher, which is interesting. Go off on pilgrimage. He did become a great teacher later. Mm-hmm. But there's no like, okay, here you got it. It's over. In fact, he says in the Jewel of Mara Samadhi, now you have it, guard it well. Which is a pointing in the Soto school is very strong this way, that this is continuous practice. It's continuous learning. It's continuous dropping away of delusions and brads and all kinds of stuff that gets in our way. And what that means is that if we, and he also talks about, you know, don't look outside yourself, look here. Right. So you think, oh, you know, Alan and Melissa and David, they've got it all together. That would be a disservice to your own path to think that. But it's normal thought. Instead, to realize we're all human beings together, these different things get marked and people get permissions and things like that. But the real, I want to go back to what Zeph said about the feeling you had of Dongshan being a really enthusiastic person really wanting to know this, like the guy in the Alive or Dead koan. I really want to know this. That's what we have to maintain. That's what we're guarding well. That strength, that power of saying, what is it? What is it? And not settling ever. Not settling into, oh, I get it. Thanks. I'm out of here. Off I go. Yeah, just this constant practice. I don't know. What is it? That's the main thing. So thank you.
So let's come back to our zazen posture.